Welcome, one and all, to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, episode 113, the year of our Lord, 2020. It is I, Quizmaster Mark Davis, and I am here with my good friend, my co-patriot, and my co-host, Lee the Bee. How are you, Lee?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Another night record.
A late night episode.
We've gone from no late nights to exclusive late nights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a special guest with us today, do we not?
We have a lovely guest.
Gorgeous.
Yes. My favorite person in the entire world, my wife, Kyle Ann, is with us this evening. Aww. She'll be sussing. Welcome, Kyle Ann.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining up on the No-No Squad proper and writing so many of the live stream trivia questions that we've done on Twitch over the past month. I mean, you've been at it the entire quarantine, but you've really taken the reins.
Pretty much, and yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, you write like maybe a few questions here and there, but like it's mostly me at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, you enjoy it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's fun.
I think our players are liking a lot of the questions. We're still doing the category request over there. And this week, you were especially helpful at Mark's Trivia as well. We teamed up together at Mark's Trivia on Wednesday. Mark, how's that going? How you feel about the virtual trivia for Nice Guys? Have you heard rumblings of relaunching in live? I know they've got like an outdoor area for guests, restaurant guests, dining guests.
So they actually just started doing seating inside.
Okay.
This past week. So we're another step closer. Greg did message me saying that they are, you know, they've extended their hours a little bit. They have indoor spaced seating, so they're easing back into the idea of doing live trivia again. I think we're probably another week or two out. I'm trying not to pressure him. You know, I'm just trying to let nature take its course. The virtual trivia has been great. You know, with the fact that a lot of life has gone back to normal. Almost everyone I know is back to work. Working regular hours, even if they're working from home or whatever, there's less players now, than there were, a bunch of people that were playing for a while, like Tim and Joey and Fletcher and Kristen and people that used to play even my live trivia or whatever have just been like so busy. There's a lot of people that just don't like doing trivia online. They like they more like the communal aspect of it, being there in
the hustle
person.
Bustle.
Yeah. I've heard that from a couple people. They don't like being on camera. You know, they don't like, you know, being so seen. So there have been a couple of different things like that that people have said or whatever. But it's been good. I mean, it's been a hell of a replacement. It's been about as good as you can get. Aside from doing the real thing, but I am, even in the couple of weeks that I did do live trivia again, aside from Seth and maybe one or two other teams or people that came out, I didn't have the usual group, you know, same groups of people always coming out or whatever. Most of the people that I had playing, I had a bunch of people playing on Zoom still, but I had a bunch of people playing just because they wanted to play. And even that was awesome. You know, it was still fun, even though it wasn't necessarily like your trivia people. It was just nice having people that, you know, wanted to put a pen to paper and get some stuff and have a good time. So,
and it's been great to have so many podcast listeners coming to yours and mine virtual trivia over the quarantine period as well.
Definitely one of the high points.
Mm-hmm. Any of our listeners that have come.
So
out
are you
that.
Still doing virtual trivia as well when you go back to doing the live trivia?
Yeah. So when I went back to doing live, I did Zoom as well. The only difference is the Zoom people couldn't win anything.
Right. And I was just wondering if you were like going to continue that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to continue that indefinitely. Awesome.
Great.
For people who are both like, you know, who live far away, you know, people on the podcast like, Kenya and Manu, and Ian, who all live far away. And even people like Matt and people like you guys, anybody who either can't get out or aren't comfortable with going out yet or whatever. So they're still able to play and still able to be a part of it. And, you know, my view kind of immediately, was if I, as many people as I can include for whatever reason, the better. We still needed to, you know, find a way to give people an incentive to come out, which is why, you know, people that play on Zoom can't win anything. So it's basically playing for the fun of it and for the, you know, for the fraternizing and for the, you know, everyone, you know, playing together or whatever. But also giving people a reason to get down there and buy stuff at Nice Guys. And, you know, aside from just like helping local businesses, but also, you know, going out to like win gift cards and, you know, be out there in person and tipping human beings and stuff. So.
True. And just your reminder, by the way, if you're getting takeout, you should be tipping everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially during this
regardless of whether you're staying in or getting takeout.
Like tipping, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I can understand people not having the funds to tip like they would if they were sitting at their table. But if possible, you should be tipping that way.
I always consider it like the tip is my insurance that you're going to check my order and make sure it's good to go before, you know. I don't know, you know, I don't make that verbal contract every time I get some to-go food, like, you checked this, right? But I'm hoping, like, you know, hey, you saw there's a tip on here, please just, you know, take a look, make sure it's good to go, boom, boom, boom.
That's just how I think about it. I think we're just living in a time now where we just, if there was ever a time that people needed help, now was the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I have not gone out to eat a bunch. But, you know, I probably go out to eat once a week or so, maybe two times a week. And when I do, I always try to tip like, you know, 25 or 30% if I can, you know, because these people working, like, they're working for a reason. They have bills to pay.
Yeah, the customers are like, have, you know, the amount of customers has been slashed in half at least in most cases.
So at the least.
Tip your service people.
people.
Mark, I'm curious about the categories that you have for today's quiz.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Well, I have movie information, or Hollywood, I guess, style information.
Interesting.
Flags.
No!
Employers. I have, I don't know how you would describe this, trials and hysteria. Okay. French.
Wow.
I have Africa and English scientists.
Oh my God, I do not feel good about this.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. I should have an optimistic attitude, I think. Well, Mark, for you and for Kyle, I have pop culture franchises, regional foods. Here, this one might be a stumper. I don't know. We'll see. Paleoarchaeology. You know anything about paleoarchaeology, Mark?
I don't know. We'll see.
This and that?
Maybe.
Sports accolades. Activist actors. Strange plants and New York Times bestsellers.
Okay.
Well, I feel good about New York Times bestsellers, actually.
Oh.
Good.
Because I worked at a bookstore for a very long time, as some listeners may already know.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag BookSmart. Okay, well, before we get to our quiz, how about we go over this week's weekly wrap-up?
Yes.
Mark, how was Nice Guys Trivia on Wednesday?
It was good. We had some teams killing it. The first round, we had a three-way tie. Mm-hmm. With Whiskey Tango. Those were a couple of players that had played with Kenya, who are one of our who's one of our proverbial lightkeepers, I believe, or Rumpelstiltskins. Seth and Ian teamed up. Ian, the usual suspect, and Seth are
dangerous team.
Yes, very dangerous. Scary team.
That's like history.
Yeah, if I had any war questions, history it would have been over.
Yeah.
And also, you guys, Team Brett Schneider. Tiebreaker question, what is the name of the actor who played Freddy Krueger? Robert Englund, and Team Whiskey Tango is the first to get that typed in. The second round, Whiskey Tango again, 34 points, widening the gap a little bit. And then the last round, they took the sweep with 47 points. They actually had a pretty terrible last round, only getting two questions right. They only wagered 1 point on the last question, which definitely helped them, but they won with 47 points. The next closest team was proverbial lightkeeper Matt Hoffman with 44 points. If he would have gotten the last, he only wagered 1.2, but if he would have gotten the last question right, he could have won. Very sweet of them. They actually went ahead and forfeited all of their cards because they live in Washington, D.C. So they went ahead and forfeited all of their cards to the next place winner for each round. So
quiz blessings to them.
Yes, absolutely. May the quiz gods forever be in their favor. So
I have a question for you about your quiz. So you had two music related questions. The first one was who was Don Van Diotti?
Don Van Vliet.
Don Van Vliet.
Yes.
And I don't know how the where it came from, but
it was kind of amazing.
It's like, maybe it's Captain Beefheart,
and I'm like, how the no, it's not fucking Captain Beefheart, and I'm like, it's probably like Meatloaf or something,
right? And we couldn't think of it,
and you're just like, I just have this weird feeling. He's like, he said cult following.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe it's Jared Leto. He has a literal cult following.
I don't think that's what he meant by that, you know? And so I asked you, you know, you mean like cult, you know, like a small but dedicated fan base.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, it turned out to be correct. Did anybody else get the Beefheart question? Did Seth? I'm wondering if Seth got that, basically.
I believe Seth did. Mm-hmm. I can check to make double sure. A woman that I dated for a while has been on a big Captain Beefheart kick and was posting a bunch of stuff. Meatloaf, I think, officially had his name changed, but his name, I believe, was Michael Aday, if I remember correctly. Was his original name.
And his
he looks like a Michael.
Bat Out of Hell sold so well, it would be hard to describe him, I think, as a cult. You know, having a cult fan base at this point.
Yes.
Beefheart is a little
bit
more.
I was thinking like, esoteric. I wasn't thinking cult fan base in like the, obscure, small, dedicated following. I was thinking cult.
Jared Leto.
I was thinking like Jared Leto. Like, yeah, like people are obsessive about this person.
People that love Captain Beefheart. I mean, for you to be into Captain Beefheart, to know him and to be into him is to love him, because he's so strange. I don't know if you've ever listened to like Trout Mask
he
Replica.
He put on a song that night because he's like,
electricity.
It is unusual.
His voice is really weird. He does a bunch of weird stuff with his voice, but
High Voltage Man.
Eagles of Yacht Rock got that right. Seth and Ian got that right. You guys got that right. Matt Hoffman got that right.
Wow. Okay.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
So yeah,
well, I was feeling good about that one, and then you asked another music question later on. That was what band's 1991 debut or 93 debut album was produced by
Jerry Harrison.
Jerry Harrison of the Talking Heads.
Yeah, and we were initially, and I was like, okay, somebody that like maybe released their debut album in the early 90s, but weren't really that big until the mid 90s. So I'm like, okay, what about like Crash Test Dummies or like Toad the Wet Sprocket? Well, you mentioned Toad the Wet Sprocket, which on brand. And I'm like, well, we probably wouldn't have ever heard of the first album. That's like what I'm getting from the question. So I'm like, so Lee, like, just throw some like 90s bands at me. Like,
yeah, and I was like, well, you know, there was like Live, but I can't hear Talking Heads in that.
Yeah, you were immediately like, I mean, Live is like not Talking Heads vibes. Like you said, like you like named a couple and you're like, and then there's like Live with that one song that was really huge, but like Lightning that is crashes. Not, that was not Talking. And I'm like, who's, and then I'm like, I never heard of Live. Who's Live? And then we actually had like a little conversation about Live. And then like,
and it turned out to be Live.
That
Live
turned out to be the answer. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Yeah. So Jerry Harrison actually did also produce Throwing Copper, the 1991 album, Mental Jewelry. The
only
biggest,
4-syllable album names.
Well, Secret Samadhi was the album after Throwing Copper. That's 5. I was like, man, you might be onto something.
no, it was their, it was a later album, so they're like, we need to add a syllable.
It's Secret Samadhi. It's Italian.
Oh,
Illuminati.
There you go. But yeah, the biggest song off of Mental Jewelry was a song called Pieces of Gray or something like that. The Live Unplugged is one of my favorite Unplugs. They did a Vic Chestnut cover that's like really good. They cover Supernatural. It's unreal. And I've always really, really liked Live. I've always really, really liked both Mental Jewelry and Throwing Copper. Super, super Christian band back then. They did like a bunch of Christian stuff. Or like Christian sounding stuff, or like Christian-esque stuff. But yeah, Jerry Harrison, all the way. They had some quote saying like they got together with him and like basically like relearned how to write songs.
You could have fooled me with that fucking song, Lightning Crashes.
Kyle was not a fan. I'm like, this is like moving, and she's like, trash.
It's garbage.
Oh, it's so good. I mean,
agree to disagree. We did not know the answer.
It was one of those that I thought people were gonna know. I think I maybe scored it.
Did anybody get it?
I don't think anybody got it. Maybe one team, but I don't think anybody got it.
If you're a Live fan, you probably know their debut album title.
I think I still own the CD.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for throwing that.
Yeah, how was your Thursday?
Man, let me tell you, proverbial lightkeeper Matt was in the house, just wrecking everybody's dreams of winning. Oof. Winning both quizzes that we had, 67 and 68.
This man.
Mm-hmm. He had
he's smart cookie.
111,883 points for the first game. Our first quiz, H-Bomb and Friends, was less than 100 points away from besting him, which on ours is like a nanosecond on the stream, basically. So H-Bomb almost had the upset, but Matt was able to lock it down for 67 and 68. He had 87,307 points to win quiz 68. And then we did a 2000s era one-hit wonders audio round, which was won by Pandarar with 141,557 points.
There you go. You need to give me some of these audio rounds on a Patreon or something.
Yeah, man.
That's a good idea.
This one, I don't know. This one, I think, was a little bit more challenging for some people. Usually one-hit wonders people are like really good on the 80s and 90s.
But yeah.
Some of the newer stuff. Ooh. I'd be interested to see how you would perform on that.
Probably not well.
Well, we'll see.
I would just make up band names.
Remember, you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Just find the link in the description of this episode or the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/No Nonsense Trivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcast streams and events. Join us, won't you? I didn't want to, like, I know Kyle's got a great voice, so I just was like, I'm gonna get in and out on this one, let her take it.
Just get out of the fucking way.
Yeah. All right,
you and me both.
Well, let's take a little break and then we will be back to start our quiz with round one in just a few moments.
Thank you.
Mark, do you want to do the first question?
Sure.
I think it's your turn. I think it's your obligation, your duty.
It's my duty to please that booty.
With the trivia question.
Of course.
Yes. Hello, pleased. Booty. I have a question for you. I'm the quizmaster.
I'm going to feed you a question.
Thank you, quizmaster.
How many stars are there on the flag of New Zealand?
This was the flags question that I groaned about in the intro.
And now it's come home to roost.
How many stars are there on the flag of New Zealand? Part of Oceania. Oceania?
I don't know. Yeah, Oceania.
Oceania sounds like a Billy Joel song. Oceania!
How many stars are on the New Zealand flag?
Not the old Zealand flag.
I'll be honest. I have no idea.
I can't describe it.
I can't. I don't even Oceania, know what it looks like.
Oceania.
That's Toto. That's not Billy Joel.
It is Billy Jodo. Shout out to Mike C for sending me a Pitchfork review on Asia by Steely Dan.
Is it a new Asia? Oh, okay.
Sometimes they'll just do like a late
classic album.
Yeah,
I see. Kyle's doing some Instagramming. We're live on the no-no. We're alive.
We'll do it live.
Well, so do you have any idea, Kyle, what the dear wife, do you have any idea what the New Zealand flag looks like?
No, never seen it before.
Let's say it's blue. Let's say it's blue. And let's say it's got white stars on it in a circle. I don't know if this is true or not. I feel like I'm describing like the flag of the Federation of Planets. That's what I'm seeing in my mind from Star Trek. And there's a big globe in the center with a Star Trek logo over it. Well, how many stars would they have? What do we know about New Zealand? It's where they shot The Lord of the Rings. There's three books. So 1, 2, 3. We're up to 3. 2 female prime ministers.
So you're basing this off of Lord of the Rings films.
What do the stars represent? I'm trying to figure it out.
You're killing me. It's funny.
Three Lord of the Rings movies, 2 female prime ministers in a row, 5.
There's a huge Maori heritage in New Zealand. Polynesian, like indigenous Polynesian cultures, maybe there's some sort of homage to that.
So what do you think? Are we going to go with 5? You don't think it's more than that? 5 is like, I mean, what do you do? 1, you do like, it's like a domino design or something. I'm thinking there's a circle.
Yeah.
It's gotta be enough to make a circle.
I don't know
why
I'm envisioning a circle as well, but I am.
We must have seen this flag at some point.
Maybe. Let's just go with,
13 colonies. 13.
There's 13 colonies?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I mean, there were 13 American colonies. Remember when they made that circle on the American flag for the 13 colonies?
Yes.
It was a nice looking circle. Maybe they saw it and they were like,
New Zealand was only established
Lord of the Rings movies.
Recently, right? So they wouldn't have been there to have seen it. So I'm thinking, let's just go with 5. I'm going with 5 only because we've sussed this to death.
The suss was based on like the Lord of the Rings movies, though.
We have literally nothing else to suss from. You know, like it's one of those things where you know it or you don't.
I think we need more than 5. We need to make a circle. 5 make a circle knot. That's a pentagram.
So how about 6? You want to say 6? That's more than 5.
I'm thinking we got to go with 10.
All right, you want to go with 10?
11.
11.
Keep going back to 13, though.
Let's go with 13.
13.
13.
13.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
No!
What's the correct answer?
Yes, yes. So the flag features a Union Jack in the upper left-hand corner. And 4 stars in the shape of the Southern Cross, or the Crux, which is a southern constellation.
So 4.
4.
Okay. We were closer to 5.
We were closer.
At 5.
When she said 6, I was like, oh man, are they going to like battle back and forth and like accidentally stumble on 4?
Nope.
You did not.
No. You I brought not. Some stupid to it.
I did not either. I did not.
I did not.
Pop culture franchises is the first question that I have for you guys.
Okay. Lay it on me.
What story about a news writer and sports writer debuted on Broadway in 1965, which preceded a 1985 gender-swapped version also on Broadway, one 1968 film and a 1998 sequel, and 4 sitcoms in 1970, 1975, 1982, and 2015, one of those being an animated series.
Okay, okay. Original Broadway show, can you say that year again?
Debuted on Broadway in 1965 about a news writer and a sports writer.
A news writer and a sports writer. And I'm the genders sure. were swapped.
Is it The Odd Couple?
That's a great guess.
I think one of the two people in The Odd Couple was a sports writer.
And there's been like a zillion different sitcoms. That's a great guess, Mark. I was thinking, I mean, that was a play as well.
That was what I was not sure about.
Wasn't it? It was. It was, I want to say it was Neil Simon, like a big name who wrote it. Mm. It was Neil Simon. Now that I'm thinking, it had like a big book of plays by Neil Simon. And it had like the whole Brighton Beach trilogy, which was the Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues, and the other one. And then it had The Odd Couple in it. No.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Wrong.
Sound of Silence.
I think The Odd Couple is right.
The Odd Thruple. Have to make an updated version for 2020.
That's basically what Bill and Ted was. The Odd Quad Polyquad. The Odd Polyquad. Anyway.
The Wicked Odd Polyquad. You want to go with Odd Couple?
Yes.
Let's do it. We're going to go with the Odd Couple.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The Odd Couple.
Yes, it is a Neil Simon play. Debuted
on
Broadway. Oscar, the sports writer, the loose guy, and Felix, the uptight guy, was the news writer. Felix played by Jack Lemmon in the movie. Oscar by Walter Matthau. Walter Matthau also played the Broadway version of Oscar, but Lemmon replaced... Lemon.
That was such a good guess.
Lemon replaced.
I like that's so obvious, but I would never have thought of that.
He was not the original Broadway guy. There was another actor. Oh, I wish I had written this down. I'm sorry.
It's very unlike you. You usually have all your information.
Yes, he does.
You know what? I looked and I was like, there's like 20 dates associated with this question and so many stars. Like Matt LeBlanc was like the it was like a pet project, one of these sitcoms of his. So he was like an executive producer and he played Oscar. So many celebrities in all the various versions of it.
The Dreamlanders was the name given to the stable of cast and crew regularly used by what famous director? The Dreamlanders was the name given to the stable of cast and crew regularly used by what famous director?
The stable of cast and crew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dreamland.
Ers.
Right. So at first I was thinking it was maybe a theater thing like Andrew Lloyd Webber. But I'm wondering if it's like maybe a movie thing.
Yeah, you didn't specify movie or play, huh?
I said director, but yeah, I did not specify.
Cast and
crew. Be a lot cooler if you did.
the Dreamlanders. Sounds like some Neil Gaiman shit. But he's not a director, he's a writer.
I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking either Tim like Burton? No. 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 I'm thinking either like
you just got laughed at.
I know.
No. No. Honey.
You gotta sample that and add that to the wrong sound effect.
You just sit there and look pretty. Let Kyle Ann do the thinking
here. Trophy husband. So I'm like Dreamlanders, like, what if it's Walt Disney?
No.
You don't think it's Walt Disney?
No.
No. He had the Imagineers. He wouldn't have the Dreamlanders and the Imagineers.
Okay, so maybe,
and
a cast, no, and maybe crew, we're on the right track cast here. Maybe we're on the right track here. Who is Disney's competitor? What if he was like someone who's trying to make movies?
Fleischmann Studios?
Let's see, like, here. I don't know why I'm thinking Hollywood Golden Age. I don't know if I'm wrong for thinking that.
Oh, okay. So like, I'm thinking like old school.
Yeah, like, come on. Who the fuck would call their cast and crew the Dreamlanders?
CeCe DeMille. Like, that old school?
I mean, that's just the vibe. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just my vibe. It's either that or somebody who, like, somebody really bizarre, like Baz Luhrmann. Let's get my Dreamlanders together. But he also doesn't use the same cast and crew, so you know what I mean. That's why I'm thinking Golden Age, because they did use the same cast and crew. They had like the same stars tied to each studio.
Okay, so who was the director that liked working with the same cast and crew? I mean, Tim Burton, like, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Tim Burton regularly uses the same cast. He regularly goes back to Johnny Depp. He goes back to Helena Bonham Carter, you know?
Yes. Okay, so Mark, so, like, Dreamcast.
Yes.
Okay, so he said the cast and crew were referred, so it's not the same. You didn't specify that, did you?
The Dreamlanders was the name given to the stable of cast and crew regularly used is such a hard back-to-back word for me. Regularly used by what famous director? And I will tell you, it is in film.
Charlie Chaplin.
That's a good one. I mean,
you're right. Back then, you know, they had to reuse, like, who do we know? Like, we're making another movie. Why not reuse the same people?
And he did use the same people.
And that sounds like an old school name, too. The Dreamlanders.
Yeah.
Orson Welles.
He didn't use the same cast. Mm-mm. Hitchcock often had similar cast members, but not like the same. But he didn't say exactly the same. So I'm thinking, but I think we're in the right vein here.
Alfred Hitchcock. Right.
I think Charlie Chaplin, because he actually did use like pretty much the exact same everybody. Like, he was very particular. And if he liked working with you, he was like, no, you're like with me now. Or
Jackie Gleason.
Or what's his face? What's his name? Stanley Kubrick. Remember?
Because
he was also very particular. We watched that documentary.
Film worker.
That was like, have you seen that, Mark? Film worker?
No.
It's really good. Oh, that's probably the best documentary like we've watched in a while. Probably better than Class Action Park.
Yeah. I mean,
Totally different.
I don't want to set one against the other.
Yeah. But, yeah. But they're both good. They're totally different, but like,
there's room for everyone. Come on.
But do you remember him saying, like, in that movie, I was a part of the Dreamlanders?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
You're right. And that's probably something he would have said. Like, us fellow Dreamlanders.
Let's go with Chaplin.
Let's go Chaplin. We're going with Charlie
Chaplin.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. I'm going to give you guys some the names of some actors and actresses.
Okay.
And see if they help at all.
Okay.
I'm going to start with some lesser known and quickly go to some better known, maybe. If you're familiar with this director's work, I will tell you the director is a male. Pat Moran, George Figgs, Susan Walsh, Mink Stoll, Mary Vivian Pierce.
Oh, John Waters.
Yes, John Waters is correct. Divine, Edith Massey, Susan Lowe, David Lockery, Cookie Mueller, appearing in multiple films, Mondo Trasho, Pink Flamingos,
that is so
multiple
on brand
Maniacs,
for John Waters.
Female Trouble, Desperate Living, Hairspray, you know, different variations thereof. But yeah, The Dreamlanders, the name of his production company is Dreamland Productions.
That's how they got apologies to John Waters.
I'm sure he's pissed.
I know he listens
to this right now, John Waters. He's like, what the hell is this?
Don't you people read?
Yeah, if the people don't read, don't fuck them. Jesus Great Christ, quote. John, calm down.
Great quote.
I hate that quote.
You do?
Yeah, I don't fucking read books. You're not going to have sex with me?
Well, he's not.
Well, okay, that's fine, but don't tell other people not to have sex. I mean, like, I fall asleep when I read books. I just have, like, it's not that I don't want to know stuff. It's just that I have a very quick, it's very easy for me to fall asleep.
Hmm. Yeah, man, I hear you.
I get cozy and I'm just like, oh, I'm reading the same fucking paragraph 20 times in a row. You know, like articles, I'm great at stuff that's like short. But when it comes to, it's like he was running along the grass and the blades were licking his feet. And I'm like, oh, my
God. That sounds
boring
as shit. So I get it.
Just get
but
to
you
it.
Know what I find? If I'm sitting up and reading, I don't fall asleep. But if I'm laying down and reading, I'm fucking falling asleep.
Mm.
It's happening.
I fall asleep driving, so I'm always Whoa. At risk.
Take it easy, Mark. Make sure you're getting your rest, buddy.
Oh, I try.
We
you know me.
That.
Always on the move.
Regional foods.
Mmm.
Regional
what
foods.
What region?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
A nostalgic school lunch menu item, known by some in the mid and northwest United States as a lager's breakfast. Involves chili being poured over or paired with what? A lager's breakfast. Chili poured over or paired with what?
My initial instinct is to say potatoes. That's something easily obtainable, cheap. It doesn't store well, though, which is not something that would be conducive with like lunch lady stuff. Like lunchroom stuff. Maybe grits?
Can you give me the question one more time?
A nostalgic school lunch menu item, known by some in the mid and northwest United States as a lager's breakfast, involves chili being poured over or paired with what?
I think I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go to, can we go 2 for 2, Kyle? Are you my lucky?
Maybe. Are,
can you be my lucky star?
Madonna. Lucky star.
There is a very strange thing that you may or may not have heard of in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I think this is very big in like Cincinnati, Ohio, up there, like, you know, around there, where people put chili on their cinnamon rolls. Have you heard of this?
No.
Someone mentioned it to me because I may or may not work for and produce cinnamon rolls for a major cinnamon roll company. And yeah, it's like, especially like the Skyline-esque chili that's got like cinnamon in it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's not my jam, but it's other people's jam.
That sounds. I get it, but I also would not want to eat it. Like, I get it. Like, the sweet and savory, and the cinnamon probably does go well with the spicy elements from a chili.
We'll split one time. We'll try it out.
Okay, I'm down.
I think that's it, though. I think that might be it. And a lager's breakfast. It could be a play on you actually, when you make cinnamon rolls, you make a log, what they call a log. which is a giant sheet of dough that you
roll out and then roll again.
Put margarine and cinnamon down and then you roll
butter.
It's got to be margarine because of the cooking temperature. Because the baking temperature of margarine is lower. I learned this because, again, I went to a major metropolitan area and learned how to make them. And you make this long log and then you cut it up, pop, pan them, put them in the proofer. And so a logger's breakfast, I mean, wouldn't that be especially a funny name, a swell name?
Well, you sound very confident, Mark, and I'm not going to argue with you.
We're going to say cinnamon rolls.
That's correct.
Yes.
Very oh my good. God.
Very good. Yes. Mark, you're absolutely right. It is a it is due to the cinnamon in the chili that's used in that area, a natural pairing. I don't know about your log theory though. You might have just noticed a coincidence there.
I think I might have.
And applied that there's a quote that I found. My grandma would make it for me as a child. Logging camps would take yesterday's leftovers, make chili, dump it over a cinnamon roll for high calories the loggers needed to work. Mm. That is a quote from Seattle resident Nick Larson, who told local news station Q13 that. In schools, it was typically served on Fridays, and there is a chain of restaurants called Runza Restaurants out of Nebraska that serves this as one of their signature dishes to this day.
And interestingly, that the same company that I may or may not work for started in SeaTac Mall in the Seattle Tacoma region. So cinnamon rolls are king out there, apparently.
Yep. Indeed.
Cinnamon fantastic. Rolls are my king.
All right. Here is your third question for the first round. After Walmart, what is the second largest employer in the United States, according to their website?
Google?
In the world?
In the United States.
In the United States.
Okay. That may be
hiring civilians. We're speaking on, so not like the Starbucks? You know,
right? Ooh, Starbucks is a good guess. McDonald's, or are there any?
According to their website, like how recently?
It is on their website currently.
Okay, so Starbucks would be a company that would brag about like we employ. Look at all these people we employ. We don't suck.
So would McDonald's? McDonald's would say that as well.
Yeah, they would.
I mean, I feel pretty good about either of those answers. There is a joke, you know, or there was a popular joke in the late 90s, early 2000s when Starbucks was expanding. Like, man, they're like literally on every corner across the street from each other.
I mean, there was a period of time in our city here in Fort Myers where there was, you know, I'm talking the intersection of Daniels and 41, where there was a Starbucks in the Target. There was a Starbucks outside of the Target in the Target.
Target.
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then there was a Starbucks just across the way. Like just across the street also. And then there was a Starbucks in the Barnes & Noble as well. They were just in the same, which is in the same shopping complex as the Target, as we were just so in the Target complex three alone.
You make a good point.
I don't know, I just feel like, I mean, is it like a Target? I feel like Target,
but yeah, that's the thing. Okay, so there were three Starbucks, but inside of all of those Starbucks there's also a Target right across the street that has at least that many employees as if you put all the Starbucks employees together, you know.
Man,
I mean, those big stores take a lot of people to run them.
It's probably not Starbucks. I mean, they were on like a huge expansion thing. But they're not like expanding.
But would Target be like, we are second only to Walmart?
No, they would not. That on their website. They would not. They'd be embarrassed. No, they wouldn't. Hobby Lobby would.
So just for clarification.
Yeah.
It does not announce that Walmart is number one. They do announce that they are number two. I am just giving you the information that Walmart is number one, figuring that it was probably well known.
I still feel like
they do not make the announcement.
Okay.
Just for the in the interest of transparency.
Right. What do you think? Should we go with something like Starbucks or a big store like Target?
What if it's like Joann's Fabrics?
What if it's Amazon?
Ah, yes. Amazon. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's Amazon. That's the one I was like, there's something we're not thinking of. Like, yep. Like, what are we not thinking of?
It's Amazon. All those warehouses.
Yeah.
Not enough robots yet. Bezos is like, come on, Elon, I need those robots.
That's exactly what he sounds like. So that's uncanny.
I've never heard him speak, so that's just how I imagine. He's starting to get a little Rick Scott look to him. I'm worried. Jeff Bezos.
It's all downhill from there, Bubba.
You know, where it's just like nothing but skin and skeleton.
All right, so Amazon.
Amazon.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Hobby the United Lobby. States Postal Service.
Motherfucker.
The USPS.
Oh, you tricky bastard. You were like, it's not a government thing. And I know you're technically right. But
USPS. Well, mm-hmm. It's not the military. Yes, as far as that. Hiring civilians, mm-hmm. It is the USPS right behind Walmart. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I think it was like 2013 or 2017, they were the largest employer in the United States. Obviously, that has slipped some, and the USPS has gotten a little bit smaller with the advent of email. And you know, that getting bigger and bigger, and Walmart growing and growing. But, yes, the United States Postal Service, the second largest employer in the United States.
Wow. Good to know. All right. It's time for your paleo archaeology question.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
Well, too bad. Here it comes.
All right.
Here comes this trivia question. In 2003, remains of 9 hobbits, a nickname for individuals of the prehistoric pygmy race Homo floresiensis, were discovered on the island of Flores, which is part of which country?
Flores.
Mm-hmm. Flores.
First guess that comes to mind is Spain.
I'm thinking, no.
I'm thinking no.
Well, okay.
Well, I think
so.
Not.
Prehistoric fossils, right? So, most of them were found in South America.
Mm.
So, it's got to be something South American or.
We have been asking a lot of South America questions.
Like, I think the most, I was just reading this, like, most of the world's fossils
come from... Whoa, hold on. Lee, go ahead and crack open that coldie. You don't have to be shy.
Thank you.
Sorry. He's being so bashful.
Because editing.
Don't worry, I'll be doing some of that now. I was trying to minimize it, but now I will be editing.
Oh, please. Like, you aren't going to meticulously edit the fuck out of this episode.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Here we go.
So, yeah, South America, actually, like, the biggest dinosaur ever discovered. I know this, we're talking dinosaurs, but was discovered in Argentina. So... Flores. So maybe it's like a South American.
We've been asking a lot of questions about Chile and Peru lately. In that area. Yeah.
Ecuador.
Equator. What are you thinking, Kyle? He said Ecuador, which makes me want to pick Ecuador. No. I think you're right. I think you're onto something with South America. Is Argentina, I guess almost every country in South America is on the water somewhere, isn't it?
Yes. Also, wait, hang on. Flores.
Could it be Mexico?
Could be. It could also be Canada. There's also fossils discovered in Canada quite a bit. Gosh, I'm just like going everywhere.
I mean, Mexico's really big and there's like Incan stuff there. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm just trying to think of like places with little islands, you know? And I can't think of any South American places with little islands yet. Canada has a lot of little islands. Maybe it's Canada. Maybe. Yeah.
And Flores is just kind of throwing you off.
Yeah.
Can you spell Floresiensis?
Yes. Floresiensis. Floresiensis.
Okay, so that could also be like, I know there's a lot of indigenous pygmy tribes in Australia.
That's interesting. I just can't shape. I can't shake the feeling of Flores being like a Spanish,
yeah,
name. Or a sounding name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a very, like, Hispanic or Spanish sounding, like, surname. Like, people have the last name Flores. Also, I believe the plural of hobbits is hobbitses.
My bad.
Yeah.
I Yeah, I don't know.
If you're taking apart the name, the hobbitses have been found.
What was that?
It's me, Gollum.
That shit sounds just like Gollum. That shit sounds exactly like Gollum.
Thank you. It's one of my it's one of my prized. It's taken me 113 episodes to bust it out, but when I really get into it, when I haven't worked an 11-hour shift, I can get into the whole Smeagol back and forth thing and
lots of Smeagol energy after an 11-hour workday.
I bet, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to help you. But I want the ring. No. Smeagol wants to help.
Oh my gosh.
Yikes.
It's Andy Serkis, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Andy Serkis number 5.
Do not adjust your radios. Yeah.
That is incredible, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a fun thing to do and scare people with. Creep up behind someone and just start doing that in their ear. You know, really fuck their day up. I don't know. I'm inclined to think South America sounds really good because I know we've been asking a lot of South America questions. Mexico is such a big country. I feel like there's a lot of like real estate there.
Yeah.
I feel like anywhere around there is a good guessing point. Okay. I'll let you go from there.
I mean, I'm just gonna, you know what? Maybe we should just go with Mexico.
All right, we're going to go with Mexico.
I'm sorry. Your first misstep. Mark, you were close with the Spanish thing. The correct answer is Indonesia, actually. Indonesia.
I was closer with Australia.
Yes. Flores means flowers in Portuguese. And Portugal had been a dominant influence on the indigenous population since sending traders and missionaries to the island of Flores in the 16th century until it became part of the Dutch East Indies in the mid 19th century and then part of Indonesia after World War II. The Pygmy people were presumed to arrive on the island from Africa with stone tools and are thought to they're believed to have shrunk to about 3 feet tall around 70,000 years ago and went extinct 50,000 years ago. A team of researchers found the individuals in the limestone cave of Liang Bua. One of the researchers is quoted as saying, "When it came to us, they had given us the Latin name Sundanthropus Floresanus, meaning man from the Sunda region from Flores. Well, the referee said it's a member of Homo, so that's what it should be. And one of the referees said Floresanus actually means flowery anus. So it should be Florensinsis. So Homo Florensinsis came along.
The flowery anus thing.
It's... Yeah, they were close. And they had huge feet. Despite their small stature, some scientists speculating that they used these big large dicks. Feet to climb trees to escape from Komodo dragons, which were endemic to the island. Can you imagine that?
Big old clown feet.
Got to get up that tree so the Komodo dragon doesn't eat you. It's almost like being in Florida with alligators.
And maybe this is where Dr. Dre got the lyric, "And now I'm smelling like Indonesia, bus stop full of fly bitches and skeezes."
I don't know if that's where he got it from, but maybe.
Probably not, but you never know.
Well, that's 3-3, right?
3-3.
So that means we're due for a break.
And we'll be right back after this music.
Okay, we're back. Before we get into our second round of our quiz, we have a miscorrection no note to take a look at. No. Yes, this is not really a miscorrection for us, just a little expansion on something that we were talking about in our last episode from Evan Tishik. Evan writes, "Gents, on the episode 112 Monk Song, Mark asked about the scene in Rushmore where Max Fisher responds to wrestling referee calling for 112s. It was speculated that the number 112 was, quote, given to certain pairs of wrestlers, implying that pairs were assigned arbitrary numbers." My bad on that. Evan continues, "That's almost right in that wrestlers do correspond with numbers, but those numbers are their weight classes."
Oh.
"I was born the same year as Mark, and throughout my high school tenure, 1994 to 1998, I recall 112 being a standard weight class, at least in my native New Jersey, where wrestling is slash was a big deal. After some research, I learned that these weight classes are not consistent through history or geography. So when you noted the script change from 110 to 112, I thought perhaps Wes Anderson and Owen Wilson were recalling a weight class from their youth in the early 80s. However, Texas, where Rushmore was set and filmed, and where both Anderson and Wilson grew up, has an archive of past state champions, and it appears that the 112-pound class has been a mainstay there since at least 1978. So I think the more likely explanation is that they actually hired actors who were familiar with wrestling and got miscorrected on set. Cheers, Evan."
And damn, a cracking open of the beer right when you say cheers. How perfect.
I should have waited.
Kylan, hey.
Cheers.
Kylan, you're perfect. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Because you got to crack open the beer and then say cheers and then you gulp. Gulp,
cheers.
Gulp, gulp.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. And even Dizzy's getting in on it.
Okay.
Well, that's fascinating. I think I'm the one actually who said that, Lee, because I think I was speculating that they probably gave. I was thinking of like you know when they give you numbers that you like pin on your shirt,
right,
like when you're running.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
where they just went, okay, in this group, you know, you're 110, 111, 112, 113, 114. And they just go, okay, 112. Like, they just randomly give people numbers, but weight class makes a lot more sense. Right. You know, they've got to make sure people, you know, of equal size are going up against each other. Yeah, that's,
I wonder
that's
how they arrived to that decision. 112, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's a very low number. Very lightweight.
Low. Well, I know that's Jason Schwartzman's, you know, kind of like debut as far as a big movie is concerned. And he was a good deal older, I think, than a high school student. So, you know, it might have been something like that. It also, when it comes to movies, it can just be the way something sounds.
True.
You know, they can say 110s and it's like, you know, 112s just sounds better. You know what I mean?
Well, like, according to Evan, though, there's some historical accuracy here with the 112 thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Evan.
Them just being a little bit bigger, like you said. Just enough reason.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that miscorrection / no note, Evan. If you'd like to write us with a miscorrection or rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can do so by contacting us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media. Are you guys ready for the first question that I have for you of round two?
Freak me, daddy.
Sports accolades.
Kyle Ann just got blown over.
That's how we talk over here on the podcast.
Yeah, she hasn't listened in a while. I've been talking dirty to your man.
It's just dude talk, okay? It's just dude talk.
Non-toxic masculinity.
That's just how we talk in the locker room.
Give it to me, freak daddy.
Come on, daddy, freak me good.
So it's just a trivia podcast, darling.
Yeah, baby.
What do you expect?
Sports accolades. Sports accolades.
Mm, yeah, my category.
Well, perhaps you guys can work together on this one. The BWF presents the Thomas Cup and the Uber Cup as prizes for teams of men and women, respectively, competing internationally in what sport? The BWF presents the Thomas Cup and the Uber Cup as prizes for teams of men and women competing internationally in what sport?
Mm.
Can you repeat it just one more time?
Sure. The BWF presents the Thomas Cup and the Uber Cup as prizes for teams of men and women competing internationally in what sport?
Okay. Do women play cricket? Is there like a women's cricket league?
That's a good question. I can't imagine that there isn't, but I've never seen a female cricket player.
Like the Not Thomas Cup and the cricket. Uber Cup. I don't know why for some reason I'm thinking like that just reminds me of like some sort of fucking cricket thing. I don't know anything about cricket.
Let's think of BWF and what it could stand for.
Okay. Yes.
Now, you said BWF, B as in boy, W as in wolf, F as in fuck.
That's right.
Boy, wolf, fuck.
Boy, wolf, fuck.
Okay.
Good. Yikes.
Isn't that the actor from Stranger Things?
God damn
it. Now, wow.
His name's Finn Wolfhard.
Boy, wolf, fuck.
It's a pun.
Oh, yeah, boy. Very punny.
Too bad I didn't say beluga. Beluga wolf fuck because Finn. Beluga Finn. Oh, boy.
Perfect.
So without thinking too much of what BWF stands for, knowing that there's a B there, bowling is one of the first things that came to mind.
Bowling with fuck.
Bowling with fuck. Bowling wolf fuck. I mean,
bowling while fucking. Uber, the Uber no, Cup, and the Thomas Cup.
Two of my favorite things together.
Baseball while fucking.
I don't like baseball as much.
I don't.
It's a Justin Peterson thing. It's his dream.
To be a baseball player. Is it?
If you build it, I'm going to come.
Oh, Christ.
What the fuck? What have we become, my dearest friend? Okay.
So I just feel like bowling is something where men and women are on a pretty level playing ground, playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just the weight of the bowling ball is the only real difference, but a bowling alley is a bowling alley. I don't think there's any difference.
What if it's bocce? I don't know if that's really popular in Indonesia. What do you think is more popular in Indonesia?
This was in Indonesia?
No, I didn't say anything about Indonesia.
Where the fuck did you get? No, you're still thinking of Dr. Dre. Now I'm smelling like Indonesia, bus stop full of fly bitches.
Oh my gosh, I'm the worst. I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, where the hell did Indonesia come from?
Get with it, Kyle. The BWF presents the Thomas Cup and the Uber Cup as prizes for teams of men and women competing internationally in what sport?
Okay, you said internationally. I thought competing in Indonesia.
Indonesia-ly. Look, it's very late at night right now. We've all been working. We've been working hard.
I live streamed tonight.
Yep.
Oh, yikes. Okay. God damn it.
Competing Indonesianly. I'm going to use that for an Indonesia question.
I thought you said competing Indonesian.
You're acting very Indonesianly right now. That is to say,
my fucking God.
You're acting like a 3 foot God. Tall pygmy.
Whoa.
International. I mean,
well, in that case,
the one thing I would say, like bowling.
Yeah.
I know there's different styles of bowling. So there's like candlestick bowling, which is a lot more prominent, like in the north. I remember being a little kid and I wanted to go bowling because I like bowling a lot. And my grandfather took me, but they had candlestick bowling. And I was such a little fucking brat about it. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Have you ever gone candlestick bowling?
So it's thin pins. They're mm-hmm. not shaped like regular pins.
Right.
They're just like, I think they're just like cylindrical. And the ball doesn't have finger holes. It's like a shot put.
Okay. It's kind of like a bocce ball.
And you, yeah. And you roll three every frame instead of two.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And my grandfather was just like, God, what the fuck? Like, he was just so pissed that I was like, not happy. But I was like, this isn't bowling. This is what fucking bowling is.
You wanted your version of bowling that you were used to.
I wanted real bowling, Daddy.
Yeah, you wanted chicken wings and popcorn and
yeah, come on.
Not some. Was it indoors? Was it like in a lane? Or was indoor. It lawn
yeah,
bowling?
Yeah. It was indoor. Regular. BWF stands for the something bocce world
Federation. Maybe I think it's bowling or bocce. Which one do you think?
Let's go with bocce.
Sorry, you guys were close. It is a world federation, but it would be of badminton.
Oh.
Badminton. They have championships held every 2 years. The first was offered in 1948 for the men's, the Thomas Cup, and then the Uber Cup for women came in 1956. And actually, Indonesia is a high competing country in badminton. They're one of only five nations that have ever won the Thomas Cup. So those would be Malaysia, Indonesia, China, Japan, and Denmark. The only five countries to have ever won the Thomas Cup. And the Uber Cup, China has the most successful teams. 14 times China's won the World Series of Badminton, followed by Japan, Indonesia, the United States, and Korea.
Now, I can't hear you very clear. I know that you and I both come across very clear because we're recording ourselves separately, but I'm hearing you through a Zoom mic.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make sure that you are pronouncing it badminton. There is an N there.
Yes, badminton. You're right.
Okay. Because a lot of people just bulldoze right over that N.
They think it's like a mitten on your hand.
Yes, badminton, yeah. But it's badminton. No.
It's like, ooh, that mint is bad, and it's on.
Yes, it's something like that. Here's your first question of the second round. The McMartin Preschool Trial in the 1980s was partly responsible for starting what hysteria?
preschool trial in the 1980s?
Yes.
The McMartin hysteria?
Preschool trial in the 1980s was partly responsible for starting what hysteria?
I feel like I need to go into my dark place as a child of the 80s.
A bit of a history question here.
I feel like I vaguely remember my mom.
Like, you vaguely remember your mom? She's really far back, you know, there, but
being like weird about some shit. I mean, she's weird. She was weird about a lot of shit. Let's be real here.
Yeah, this is a place to get real.
No, I mean, like, she was like very like neurotic about like, ah, don't do that because this, and it's like, what? And I feel like there was like,
well, this was a lot of people were apparently is a hysteria.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there was like maybe one that stuck out that I'm not thinking of.
1980s hysteria.
The what preschool case?
McMartin.
McMartin preschool case.
Preschool trial. That's like a weird, like, are you, you're not talking about like a criminal trial, are you? Is that, yes, what it's referring to? You are? Preschool trial. Usually, like, law cases are described as being like, you know, such and such, Plessy versus Ferguson, you know? It seems uncommon for it to be described as like it's a preschool trial. Like, does that mean that like it was like a mock trial that they set up in a preschool? Like, they're trying to get these kids to understand civics
or
something?
Does this involve actual preschoolers?
Yes, it involves the McMartin preschool.
Okay, so it was like the state versus Martin preschool, McMartin preschool? Is that the understanding that we should have, or something along those lines?
It was prosecuted by the Los Angeles District Attorney.
So what's going to, like, you're a parent, you're putting your kid in preschool, and you find out something's going on and it causes a hysteria.
Anti-vax?
Yeah, that, I mean,
it didn't really like hit hard until like very recently, but maybe it had its roots in like that case or something. I'm thinking like vaccines, maybe something related to like chicken pox, or maybe it relates, like, I'm trying to think of like a hysteria. Fluoride. That's a thing.
That's like a Florida thing, though. Do they do that in California?
I thought they did it everywhere. Or is it just us heathens in Florida that have to eat fluoride?
I saw a Twitter thread once where our previous guest, Jameson Webb, from episode 99, who you might have seen on Jeopardy or Space Force or just heard on our podcast, he was like, did anybody else like have to like swish around like a bunch of fluoride in their mouth at school as a kid, or is that just a Florida thing? And some people were like, we did, and others were like, fuck no.
maybe it was like my kids' teeth are fucking rotting out of their head.
I had to do it.
Food. Yeah,
we had to do it. We had those little we had the little paper cups, and everyone in the class,
yeah, you had to swish for 30
seconds.
Had to
put it in there and swish, yeah, and it tasted like bubble gum, and I'm using air quotes.
Yes.
I had so much anxiety about that shit. When they would open the door and bring in that little tray with the paper cups.
I'm sorry. How do you have that much anxiety as a 5-year-old, Lee?
I don't know. I just, that shit, it did not taste normal. Like, it did not taste like it should be in my mouth.
I think that just says a lot about who you are as a person. I love you.
You guys, so
she followed that up with "I love you." I think that says a lot about who you are as a person, and I love you.
Wait, so you guys were just totally cool with it? They brought in that fluoride, and you guys were like,
absolutely,
"All right, ready to swish,
like,
this shit around in my mouth."
It's good for our teeth. They're telling me it's good for my teeth. I'm 5. I'm not thinking about how weird this tastes.
I wasn't pumped about the 5 taste, and I was worried when they were like, "Don't swallow it," because then I'm like,
exactly,
what happens if I swallow it? But I mean, like, I didn't die, so like, I did it once, and I was like,
"You're also not supposed." You realize you're not supposed to swallow toothpaste, also, right? But you still brush your teeth with it.
There's a lot of things they say you shouldn't swallow. If you know what I'm saying?
Wow, Mark.
Hey. Are they saying you shouldn't swallow that stuff?
I don't know. That stuff.
You know that stuff.
You know what stuff I mean.
Made sense to me. As a fucking 5-year-old.
Baseball while fucking.
because I'm not thinking about.
She's talking about fluoride again.
So, okay. So fluoride hysteria.
Is that a hysteria?
People were like obsessive about, oh, you got to clean your fucking teeth. Like they were obsessed about it.
I understand a hysteria to be like people are just going crazy. They're just like jumping around like a hysteria is like the dancing pandemic of the Middle Ages when people couldn't stop dancing. Okay. You know?
Yeah, but like
hysteria.
Man.
Isn't that a sexist term?
I mean, so
hysterical.
Well, there were women that were diagnosed with hysteria and they were sent to doctors to relieve them of their hysteria and they literally just like jacked them off.
But isn't like hysterectomy related to it? It's like a madness so related
some
to
women
like,
who were thought to have like uncontrollable hysteria were given hysterectomies mm-hmm. to decrease their sex drive. So it would often cause like early menopause. There's actually a movie about this starring Lucas Haas and Laura Dern and I want to say Robert Duvall.
Mm.
I don't remember the name of it.
Does that ring a bell, Mark?
No.
Robert Duvall, Laura Dern.
But, I mean, that's not what we're talking about here.
No, like, no. It's got to be 80s. A hysteria related to some preschool trial. Diapers.
Do you think? I was saying diapers. So I was thinking maybe like maybe the McDonald's like ball pit. Like, remember that? How like, oh, dunk in the ball pit. There's like heroin needles in the ball pit.
You get E. coli. You lick the ball in the ball pit. It's poop on that ball.
It wasn't poop on the ball. It was like I guess people feces like, and that was pit. The thing my mom literally thought this like, oh, there's people shooting up at the McDonald's and throwing their needles in the ball pit like
dumb kids
and you will get AIDS from the ball pit like I don't know
AIDS 1980s.
Oh, maybe we're onto something. Maybe we're actually onto something. What hysteria? I mean, maybe that would tie in with vaccines even. Like
maybe there was a person who had AIDS that worked at the preschool. And there was like a panic of the parents or something. Can you repeat the question one more time, Mark?
I absolutely can, Lee. The McMartin preschool trial in the 1980s was partly responsible for starting what hysteria?
Partly responsible.
It definitely kicked it off.
Hmm.
Maybe it has to do with
guns. I don't think we've uncovered it yet.
Guns? Suicide?
Hysteria.
What was going on? Heroin chic became really popular. Maybe like obesity. I don't know.
Preschool though.
Yeah. Like, oh, he died because he was fat. Even though that's like not.
No,
a thing.
That wasn't an issue in the '80s.
Yeah. I mean, that's when people started becoming obsessed with like, oh, if you're not a size zero, you're fucking fat and ugly and gross.
But preschool, like, I mean,
yes, it extends that far.
No, I don't buy it for this. Okay. In the early 80s, like 1980, kicking off like a nationwide thing, there was no movement like that. There was no exercise movement or anything like that until the 90s. Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger like got on that bandwagon and was like, we all need to exercise. And
the 90s.
A lot of that was funded from the soda companies like
because
Coca-Cola.
Sugar.
Yeah, like
eat sugar,
drink a Coke, and or a Powerade,
and work out.
Yeah, and then work off the pounds. But you know, don't change your diet. Just drink the sugar, and then exercise a shitload.
Right.
Just run around a bunch. Listen to Arnold.
Whatever, man. Whatever you're saying.
Drink this 300 calorie soda and then burn off 400 calories, 300 of which is the soda.
You only have to ride this bike for 80 minutes.
God damn it. Okay, so we're going down a rabbit hole here. What are we saying?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think this was happening in the 80s of preschool. It's got to be vaccines. Vaccines are closer, but that was like that started because that there was a study that was published where the researcher just straight up lied basically about a correlation between vaccines and autism. I don't think that was like a preschool thing. Hysteria.
I can't think of any hysterias from like the early 90s.
Early 80s. Yeah, I don't either. It was before I was born, so it's got to be something that I learned after the fact.
Yeah. So, what do you think?
I guess we'll just go with anti-vax. That's the only thing that we got, but it's probably not right. Anti-vax movement.
Sorry, you're right. That's wrong.
All right, I'm curious.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm just going to let you sit in it for a minute. So basically, the McMartin preschool trial began with a child who had painful bowel movements. And talked to his mom about it. And when his mom asked him about it, there's some differing ideas of exactly what happened, but it ended up where the kid had said that one of the teachers had been inappropriate and caused the bowel issues. And when the mother started asking him what happened, the kid started saying that people at the daycare had sexual encounters with animals, that the head administrator had drilled a child under the arms, and mostly one of the big things that caused this issue was that the main person that he had pointed out saying that, you know, inappropriateness had taken place flew in the air. And all of this stuff started pointing toward satanic ritualism. The answer is satanic panic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically, the school sent out a form letter to 200 parents of students at the McMartin School, basically saying, talk to your kids and see if your kids have been molested by any teachers or administrators here. And of course, you get a bunch of parents sitting down with kids saying, have you been touched inappropriately? And you get kids who, you know, are looking to impress or looking for attention.
Or have like wild imaginations.
Or have wild imaginations.
Like, you know, I can actually talk to animals.
That's right.
Literally something my daughter said to me yesterday.
Like there was one child who said, I can't remember if it was this case or another one that said they went to a zoo and cut off a gorilla's finger or stole a gorilla and cut off the gorilla's finger and poured all the blood from the finger in a bucket. There was no zoo in that city. And of course, there aren't many gorillas around, so it would have been giant news that a gorilla had been taken. And you do not need a bucket to get the blood from a finger of a gorilla. It didn't make any sense. But there was, you know, such a push at the time, especially in California, to listen to kids, and, you know, watching out for, you know, molestation and things like that. So people were, you know, not willing to just cut off this information. So the more children they talked to, the more stories they heard. And since a lot of these stories were sensational coming from children, there was a belief that a lot of this stuff was satanic in nature. And pretty much before it could even get, you know, quashed, along with, you know, backwards playing records, et cetera, et cetera, satanic panic had set in, and everybody just believed that the satanic ritualism was a problem and that people were going around and, you know, flying around and molesting kids or whatever else. When in reality, nothing like that was happening.
I was going to say, was the trial about that initial claim that the the original student made, and how did that turn out?
It was, yeah. The main guy who the allegations were put up against was a guy named Ray Buckey. He was the grandson of the school founder and the son of the administrator, Peggy, the aforementioned Peggy who drilled a child under the arms. He ended up getting let go because there wasn't enough evidence. But at that point, there were just like bizarre allegations going on all over the place. One child identified Chuck Norris as one of the abusers. They saw witches. These kids say they saw witches fly, traveled in a hot air balloon, were taken through tunnels underneath the schools, you know, things like that. Yeah, I don't think it ended with everybody was acquitted. They didn't have enough evidence. But still, people spent time in jail. There was another book that was released named Michelle Remembers, which was a woman who went to a I can't remember. I'm trying to remember the name of the kind of therapy, but it was basically like going in like way back into your like repressed memory therapy. And this woman remembered her mom practicing satanic rituals, et cetera, et cetera. She ended up marrying her therapist and writing a book called Michelle Remembers, which became a bestseller. And the whole story became debunked. Like, it wasn't true. So a lot of these, like, satanic blah, 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 blah. If you know anything about Satanism, you know that Satanism in its true form of, like, Anton LaVey Satanism, which we talked a little bit about, you know, is not like that. They don't really believe in anything like that. Basically, it's a ha-ha Christianity, you know, joke, and just basically telling you to, like, just mind your own business. Help people out. If people are jerks to you, then
destroy them
and move on. Yeah, which may be a little too strong for me. But Satanic Panic, that whole story is really, really fascinating. I don't know if there's a documentary about it, but if there is, I'm sure it's really interesting.
One that comes to mind that is somewhat associated would be the one about the West Memphis Three, Paradise Lost.
That's another. It's very along the same thing. And where I heard about this, they actually mentioned that and how, you know, the three kids, or specifically, what was his name? Dylan, the main guy that was put away, was in there for listening to Metallica.
Right.
Which, if you listen to Metallica, they are so far from satanic. Guilty. I mean, they're singing about, like, not doing cocaine. You know, like,
I was listening to the new Symphony of Metallica record and, like, noticed how polite James Hetfield is to the audience. He's almost like the happy dad. He's like, hey, how about we play some more? Well, we're gonna anyway.
Right. Hey, we just brought this, you know, 200-piece orchestra for you.
Yeah, Metallica's like lyrical content is not what's problematic. It's their terrible music.
Kyle's got opinions.
She does. She hates all music.
All of it. Just all of it.
Fuck HBO music. Did produce Indictment, the McMartin trial, which was a movie in 1995 based on the trials. And in 2018, Oxygen produced Uncovered, the McMartin Family Trials, a documentary about the events. So there was recently one documentary put out about it.
Dope.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a dope story, but
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's not to say, I just want to clarify, I'm not saying that you should not listen to or believe children.
Absolutely. I was going to say that too. Like children's experiences are so valid, but at the same time, like, children do, like, have these, like, fucking incredible imaginations. And, like, and they're definitely influenced by, like, pack mentality in a way, I think.
Yeah.
And so are the adults, and I think that's where this hysteria element comes into play, is that the adults surrounding these children took it and ran with it.
For sure.
Almost like QAnon in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like building on, you know, an imaginary structure and creating a new reality.
And the main mom who first leveraged these allegations died before the trial even started of alcoholism.
Oh, so,
I mean, you know,
yeah, she, yikes.
Was probably not in a great place to begin with. They were doing tests on kids, trying to find out if their anuses winked. They had like these tests they would do to try and find out if their anuses had been penetrated before, and they would do like tests to see if they winked. I don't know exactly what that is. I didn't
see that.
Didn't go down that rabbit hole, but they were like trying to check for hymens and for
okay. And that winking. In itself is actually like sexist, because apparently like the hymen is like a myth. Like it doesn't like. I've been reading about this. So like apparently you can even like have sex and have an intact hymen. It's so, like the right. whole like concept of like popping your cherry is like sexist and like just not
true. I like the voice you used for that.
That was my dude bro voice. Thank you.
So are you meaning to tell me that the hit band Cherry Poppin' Daddy's name is
mythological in nature?
Thank God.
Hymen cryptozoology.
Oh, yikes.
All right. Activist actors is the category I have for you guys here. Activist actors. And, you know, I had three hints in this question originally, Mark, but since it's the two of you, I think I'm just going to give you guys two. And if you want an extra hint, I'll have one on deck for you.
If you're giving us two, I just want two, Lee.
Here's two.
Okay.
What actor attended the 1963 March on Washington and also co-wrote a memoir titled Shameless Exploitation in Pursuit of the Common Good?
I know this, and I need to, so I'm not gonna, I know this, and it's because, like, I'm just...
Well, yeah. no fair, you're on my team, and he only gave us two because you were sussing with me.
I heard him talk about it.
Okay. Kyle, yeah.
She needs to recuse herself. I want the third clue then.
Okay. Here's the original question. It's original format. Who attended the 1963 March on Washington, co-wrote a memoir titled Shameless Exploitation in Pursuit of the Common Good, and whose acting career concluded with a performance in the 2006 Disney Pixar film Cars?
Yeah, I did hear you talk about this. Mm. Godspeed.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not going to get here. This is like the second question you've asked about Cars.
Well, we had to rate my question a couple weeks ago about what
life is a highway.
Yeah.
I thought that was your question.
Nope.
1963 March on Washington. Mm-hmm.
Co-authored a memoir titled Shameless Exploitation in Pursuit of the Common Good, and whose acting career concluded with a I'll tell you, it's a 5-decade-long acting career concluded with the performance in the 2006 Disney Pixar film Cars.
I have no idea. I'm going to guess that they're probably black because of the March on Washington. I don't know if that's right or not. Cars. Did you say what year Cars came out? Did you say that?
2006.
So 6, 96, 86, 76, 66, 56. Jesus, from the 1950s. I'm just going to throw out a guess, I think. I don't know what voice actors were in Cars. I can't even think of like the people that play like Lightning McQueen or whatever. But I'm going to guess Sidney Poitier.
No, Mark. Sidney Poitier did attend the March on Washington. with an entourage of actors that included Charlton Heston, as well as the answer to this question, Paul Newman. Paul Newman, star of The Hustler, Cool Hand Luke, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, Cars, of course, and many others. Shameless Exploitations was co-authored with biographer A.E. Hotchner in 1982 about Newman's anti-management style and his giving of 100% of Newman's own food company profits to charity, totaling over $550 million in 2019. So over half a billion dollars donated to charity. And he played the character Doc Hudson in Cars. I believe Lightning McQueen is played by Owen Wilson, by the way.
I thought that was the case, but I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Newman himself was a huge racing enthusiast. You might know that, Mark, even winning several national championships in Sports Car Club of America road racing and open wheel IndyCar racing.
Okay. Charlton Heston, huh?
Charlton Heston attended the March on Washington and was a huge anti-segregationist, actually.
And now he loves the guns.
Well, he's dead, isn't he? He's passed away, yeah. But he did did support Reagan, I believe, later. But he was at the March on Washington and was outspoken for integration.
All right, here's your second question of the third round, or second round. the old double-double.
Dibby dubs.
Pomme de terre is French for what vegetable, which originated in modern-day Peru?
Pomme de terre.
Pineapple.
Really?
I don't know.
Really? I don't know.
Pomme de terre. Pomme.
De terre means of the earth, right?
Apple of the earth. Pineapples grow on the ground. Pomme is French for apple, right? Or is that Italian?
Well, you said P-A-L-M, right?
P-O-M-M-E.
Oh.
Pomme de terre.
Pineapple. Apple of the earth.
Okay. I might be on board with this now. Now that I know it's not palm. I was thinking it was maybe like hearts of palm or something like that. But pomme de terre. Pineapple. See, pineapples, they don't really grow in the ground. They grow above the ground. They grow out of the plant at the top. But
if you're comparing them to apples, yes, around trees,
they come the eat the leaf.
Yes. All right. Let's do it. Pineapple.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Man, you guys were so on the right track. If you would have just thought a little bit more about it. So, pomme de terre does mean apple of the earth. You were just kind of misguided in your thought. Kyle's had a realization.
Potatoes, right?
Potato is correct.
Really? The potato was in
so
Peru?
It is like, yes, yeah. Originated in Peru. Yep.
Pomme frites, you know, French. Yes. I'm so dumb.
I mean, I'll be honest, potato crossed my mind, but I was like, no way is that a Peruvian.
Yes,
I was thinking, I went potato, then I thought maybe it's yuca root, but then you started talking about pineapple. I was like, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, as far as growing in the earth, apple of the earth,
yeah,
inside the earth, growing inside potato. The ground.
I feel dumb. It's fine, I've had beers.
Well, I mean, you do know, you got it. You've got all the pieces. It's just, you know, it was like when it was like the question last week about the Gila monster, where its name was fucking Chance, and I'm sitting there thinking about Las Vegas, and I go right over it. And then later, I'm like, yeah. Of course, I'm talking about this fucking city where everyone is talking about luck be a lady and da 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 da, and I just did not even fucking sit for more than 2 minutes on fucking Las Vegas before I moved right off of it. It was sitting right in front of me.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep going with the plant discussion. I have a strange plants question for you guys.
Marijuana. Okay.
No. But maybe.
Please.
No. Mary, do you wanna? What kind of cactus, endemic to eastern Mexico, is endangered in the wild but is popularly cultivated due to its unique silver woolly coat of hair? What kind of cactus, endemic to eastern Mexico, is endangered in the wild but is popularly cultivated due to its unique silver woolly coat of hair?
Do you think it's ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca?
And it would be endangered because fucking hippies from America are coming down stealing this fucking cactus.
Is ayahuasca a cactus?
Yes. It's the juice from a cactus.
Damn.
As satirized in the Michael Cera movie... I don't remember what it's called. He basically steals a cactus from Mexico with Gabby Hoffman from Transparent.
I remember watching Chelsea Handler on Drugs, the Netflix series of Chelsea Handler on, and she goes and she does ayahuasca in like fucking somewhere in like South America or Central America.
Uh-huh.
And she just fucking cries for a long time and then throws up everywhere.
Yeah.
Seems like a really good time.
I was going to say, puking is like a big component. Ayahuasca does that to
you. Yeah. It's like poison. You throw up and then you feel like amazing.
Euphoric.
Apparently.
It is an interesting concept doing ayahuasca, is what I'll say. Since this is going to go out into the world. That seems very interesting. Apparently people have very... interesting times.
I'm gonna pass on it.
Why?
I'm not doing it. I don't need it.
You don't need a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
That's too much.
Kyle and I will do it.
I'll think about
it. Wanna do some ayahuasca and throw up with me?
Sounds like about our
childhoods. Lee can watch us. He can videotape us.
I'll be honest, some of my best drug experiences were when there was like one person that was like sober.
Yeah.
Because it was so interesting to compare, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, we're acting so weird right now. And he's like, actually, you just seem like you're a little drunk. You're not like crazy. And I'm like, really? I feel like I'm crazy. And yeah.
It's good having someone around that's grounded.
Yeah.
It also makes you feel a little safer.
Yeah, exactly. Like if we need something, I'll just have some pizza. He's there. Yeah, that's like what he did. We like ordered pizza and he was Mormon. So he just like hung out and ate pizza and made fun of us for being like,
I'll get some special.
And then we watched a musical. We watched The Light in the Piazza and I wept the whole time because it was so beautiful. The high notes, like I felt them in my core. The high notes they were singing, it was beautiful. Anyway,
you were watching The Light in the Piazza and he was eating The Light in the Pizza.
Yes.
Yeah, we can say ayahuasca. That sounds like a good enough guess.
I mean, that's
the only
not
other
right.
guess I had. Okay, well, but. Great. Well, the only other thing I could think of, because I don't know the names of any fucking cactuses, but he said he seemed to really accentuate like woolly, because of its silver woolly hair. So maybe it's just like the fucking woolly cactus.
Is but it agave a type of? That's not a cactus.
It might be. I don't know. I mean, like aloe. I don't really know the names of stuff. I mean,
I don't know if those are types of cactuses. Yeah.
Aloe doesn't have like a silvery thing though. I've seen people like cut aloe plants open and they're they don't have silvery hair.
Prickly pear cactuses. Are they woolly? I don't think so. I mean, let's just go with ayahuasca. I have no better guess.
We're going to go with ayahuasca.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is old man cactus. Old man cactus.
That's why he said silver woolly hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes. Also, the Latin name is Cephalocereus senilis. Senilis, like old man.
Yeah, because we totally know that
Well, it's like senile. They can grow up to 20 feet tall, and they like well-drained soil and lots of sun, which encourages the growth of the hair. So they are endangered in the wild, but popularly cultivated. Apparently pretty easy to grow as well.
Are you ready for your last question?
Yes.
Which country, whose name means land of the dominant ethnic group there, is Africa's oldest continuous democracy?
Namibia. I'm kidding.
Hmm? Now, it means land of, and then if I was to say it, it would give away the name.
Right.
But the last part of it is the dominant ethnic group that lives in that country. And this country is Africa's oldest continuous democracy.
Do you think it's Cameroon? Is that a democracy?
No, I don't think so. I think Cameroon has like a monarchy or something.
And so does Monaco. But Namibia, though.
Candace Cameroon.
I don't think Namibia has like a strong government. I think they're like latecomers to having a government.
Okay.
Because a lot of it is desert.
Land of something.
So it's not Egypt. It's not Liberia.
No.
It's not Cameroon. It's not Gabon. Not Kenya. Right?
Maybe
Ethiopia is pretty old, but do they have a democracy?
Cameroon.
Idi Amin was from Kenya, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he was Kenyan, which...
No, he was Ugandan.
Yes, Uganda. Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
And that's like clearly like a dictatorship, right? I mean, to us, it would be a dictatorship, but mm-hmm. like maybe it was considered technically a democracy.
Which country are you talking about? Uganda?
Uganda.
Does Uganda mean land of Ugandans? Like Liberia, I think would be like land of liberty, right?
You know what?
Hmm.
I think it might be Liberia.
Like Land of the Liberated?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I've heard this trivia
question. And it's a democracy?
I don't know if it's a democracy. Freed
slaves? That's what Liberia was. I think it was started as a place for freed slaves to go.
I feel like I remember...
And if you're free, aren't you going to have a democracy?
Yeah. I feel like I remember reading this... like doing Africa trivia.
I was thinking about this as like a tribe thing, but
no, you're right. I think it might be Liberia. I mean, it's the best guess we got at this point.
Yeah, I wish I could remember more African countries. Let's go with it though. Liberia.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
All right. I guess you did mean like the like a tribal people. Right.
The name of the people are the Tswana.
Oh, Botswana?
Botswana is the correct answer.
Okay.
Africa's oldest continuous democracy. Botswana means land of the Tswana.
I see.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, it's all right. Unfortunately, they've been hit very hard by the HIV and AIDS epidemic. 20% of people there Not to be a Debbie Downer. 20% of people there have HIV or AIDS, which I believe in America, I was trying to crunch the numbers and trying to find out how many people we have in America and how many people have HIV or AIDS, but it's under 1% here. I mean, we have a lot of people here, but just in Botswana, it's 20%, which is one fifth of the people there. One out of every five people have HIV or AIDS. So, yeah, very, very unfortunate. What's that?
It's a pandemic.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a little break and then we will be back with our final questions in round three, as well as a rate my question from new proverbial lightkeeper, Alex. Right, we're back, and it's time for a rate my question. We have a rate my question from new proverbial lightkeeper Alex, along with a quick no note. Alex writes, "Hi, Mark and Lee. My name is Alex, and I'm from New York. I discovered your podcast 2 months ago, and I can't get enough of it. As of yesterday, I have become a Patreon supporter.
Woo!
Thank you, Alex. I'm currently on episode 90, and I hope to be up to date on the podcast pretty soon. I didn't know I was a trivia fan until I started listening to you guys. Even if I don't get a lot of questions right, because I'm only 20, and I barely know anything about pop culture from before the 2000s. Despite that, I love the show, specifically when you guys ask about chemistry, because that's my favorite subject. I was really proud to instantly know that acetylsalicylic acid was in fact aspirin. My other strong topics are cars, science, food, and The Office. Anyway, I love the show and keep up the great work, guys. Alex. P.S. I don't know if this is too specific or a bad question in general, but here's my first attempt at writing a trivia question. So this is Alex, new trivia fan.
Hell yeah, Alex.
First attempt at writing a question. Let's go ahead and give it a rating, Mark.
Okay.
While all fish eggs are known as roe, only one type of fish produces eggs that are traditionally known as caviar. What is that fish?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Caviar comes from what fish?
Do you have any guesses?
I got a guess. Do you have a guess, Kyle?
No, because I'm thinking about like...
Let's all say our guess on three.
No. Okay.
One, two, three. Sturgeon. Tuna.
I said nothing.
Okay, we got tuna and sturgeon.
Well, it's
on
definitely
the table.
Not salmon, because I thought salmon eggs were like lighter in color, and caviar is a dark color, which I'm sure like maybe it's dyed or something, and maybe not all caviar is dark colored. Tuna. Man, that's a good guess. I'm thinking
sturgeon. I wasn't thinking about sturgeon, but that sounds, I don't know why. I like the sound of that.
I feel relatively sure.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel not sure at all. So, I mean.
And I don't know why I feel sure, but I feel relatively sure.
You got a gut feeling.
In the words of Devo, I've got a gut feeling.
Well, I've no strong opinions about it. Kyle, if you don't, maybe we should just go with sturgeon.
Let's go with sturgeon.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, boy. No pressure.
Traditionally, the term caviar refers only to roe from wild sturgeon in the Caspian Sea and Black Sea. That's right, Mark.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So how do we feel about this question? I like it.
It's a great question.
I want some more of it.
Also, yeah, I mean, if his specialty categories are chemistry and cars, I mean, fuck, we should have him on our team if we're playing right? virtual trivia.
The missing link,
right?
Alex.
For real.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's it seems like it's somewhat common knowledge. I mean, we have three people here, and Mark guessed it on just kind of a gut feeling, so it's got to be out there somewhere.
I think I may have asked this question, or I came across it, but it was one of those things where it's like, man, like I can't tell if I'm just like feeling this in some weird way or whatever, or if like there's a reason. But yeah, I guess it's just because I knew it.
I wonder if Alex works in a restaurant. This seems almost like it could be a New York restaurant question.
And he's like 20 waiting tables while he's studying chemistry.
Yep.
In college.
Good question, though, Alex.
Yeah, great question. AA+. It's nice and succinct. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
got a little background information.
And it's guessable. It's sussable. You know,
yeah.
You know enough kinds of fish to you know, get in there. And caviar is popular enough to where someone should know it. 1 out of 5 people. I mean, we got 3 of us here and 1 of the 3 of us knew it. So,
yeah, that's a good question.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call 1-929-356-6966. And you can send us a question and we will read it, answer it, and rate it.
Lee, please, won't you give us a last question?
You want me to go first? I think it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is your turn.
Well, flip.
Freak me, Quiz Daddy.
Oh, you're going to get freaked so good. Here's your last question, y'all. What English scientist who lived from 1791 to 1867 had main discoveries, including the principles underlying electromagnetic induction, diamagnetism, and electrolysis?
I think it can be only one person. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Are you thinking Tesla?
I'm thinking Tesla. Nikola Tesla.
I don't think he was English, was he?
He was of Serbian descent. And he... I think he was originally from England. And then he moved to France to work for an electrical company or something like that. And caught the attention of Edison, who brought him in to work at his laboratory.
But when did this?
In the early 1800s.
Mark, when did this guy exist?
You said the late 1700s, 1860 something.
I did. I said 1791 to 1867.
Okay, so Thomas Edison was around in the early 1900s. He died like in the early 1900s.
I will tell you, he had a major invention in 1836, and this invention is named after him.
What were the things you mentioned in the question again?
He had main discoveries, including the principles underlying electromagnetic induction, diamagnetism, and electrolysis.
And he invented something major that was named after him, which Tesla doesn't have any major inventions that were named after him.
Maybe not major. I don't know. He had an invention that people know about. Invented in 1836 and is named after him.
Yeah, all right, I'm backing off Tesla.
1836 sounds like Alexander Graham Bell. That would be, I mean, I don't, wait, electron.
That's what he went to Paris. He went to work in Paris on in telecommunications. Tesla did.
1836.
Could be Paul Dirac. He was like a magnet guy, I think. In Tallahassee, they have the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory, and it is on Dirac Road. But I thought he was American.
Is there a major invention named after? Is there an invention named after him?
They got a big fucking magnet in Tallahassee with a street that's named after him. It's probably the Dirac magnet. I don't know. I'm just thinking what I know about magnets.
I
Fucking magnets, how do they work?
Is electrolysis magnets necessarily?
No.
Yeah. Electrolysis? Dia something?
Diamagnetism.
Diamagnetism, I see.
Two magnets.
Get that Doble magnet.
I just feel like I'm not thinking of somebody right now, but if we're thinking of inventions in 1836, I mean, the telephone sounds about right, and that's an invention that was named after its inventor, Alexander Graham Bell.
Ahoy, hoy.
I don't know if you have anything better, but...
No, I don't. I guess we'll go with Graham Bell.
Alexander Graham Bell.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. This man popularized terminology such as the cathode, electrode, and ion. He developed an early version of the Bunsen burner. He liked to do a lot of stuff with magnetic fields and electricity. And he, in 1836, he invented the Faraday cage. His name is Michael Faraday.
I see. There was a character on Lost named after him.
There it is. There it is. Thank you. That was very satisfying.
I always, when you ask about these British philosophers and scientists, I always forget to go check on my Lost characters.
It's really satisfying hearing you say, oh, there's a Lost character named Faraday, because I just knew you were going to say it, and you did not disappoint. So thank you for that.
Damn.
You just know me so well.
I do.
All right. We Michael
literally
Faraday.
Read each other's minds.
Faraday cage.
Faraday cage.
New York Times bestsellers.
Okay.
The last category for you guys.
Kyle, I'm leaning heavy on you, baby.
I got you.
Known otherwise for his hardcore style. Which former professional wrestler penned the autobiography Have a Nice Day, A Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks, which hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list in December of 1999?
Well, New York Times bestsellers from 1999, I'm not familiar with.
Have a Nice Day.
Mm-hmm.
A Tale of what?
Blood and Sweat Socks.
Is the Macho Man Randy Savage? Was he around in 1999? That's just like literally the only wrestler I can think of.
You must be speaking of Randy Poffo.
Yeah.
Randall Poffo. I was trying to think.
Was
I don't
his
know
name if... Larry? Or was that his brother? I thought his real name was Larry.
Maybe
he
it
might
is
have had a brother Larry. Named Larry.
I mean, Mark, do you know, like, Macho Man Randy Savage? What was his heyday?
Oh, I should
Wasn't
not
it,
look up.
That sounds about right.
I started looking up to find his first name, and I was like, wait a minute, I should not look this up.
That's...
I mean, he was alive in 99.
Yeah.
And I think he wasn't wrestling anymore in 99.
That's perfect then, right? Because like that would be like when he would tell a story, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Blood and Sweat Socks.
Also, the only reason why I said Macho Man Randy Savage is because it's the name of Colin and Tara's cat. And I know it's a wrestler, and that's all I know about wrestling. Thank you.
And my name on
Thank you.
Twitter
Welcome
is
to my TED Talk.
Macho Man Randy Sandwich.
Perfect. That's, I think, another thing why maybe that was in the front of my mind is because it's your Twitter handle almost.
Yeah, let's go with it. Let's go with Macho Man. If it came to the front of your head real fast, because it's a better guess than anything I have. We're going to go with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Wrong. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Macho Man, I don't think, ever wrote a book. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pen myself a novel.
Ooh, no.
No, the answer is, if I could break down some hints that I have in here, hardcore style. He was a hardcore wrestler. He made mainstream news, or caught the mainstream eye, for his 20-foot fall off of the Hell in a Cell cage match, 1998. Sweat Socks is a reference to his character, Mr. Socko, which is part of his Mankind character. Mankind. I'm talking of Mick Foley. Mick Foley is the answer I'm looking for.
I don't even know who that is. So
Mick Foley has authored 10 books total, 4 memoirs, 4 children's books, and 2 novels. He seems like a great guy. He's active with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He's a huge Tori Amos fan. He first heard Little Earthquakes when fellow wrestler Max Payne played it while they were traveling, and cites Tori Amos as inspiration for his wrestling character, Mankind. He met Amos in 2008, and she introduced him to the RAIN organization, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network.
And he works in the phone bank.
Yes, he does. He volunteers his time answering phones for RAIN. He is a member of their National Leadership Council and has made several donations to the organization after auctioning off wrestling memorabilia, including Mr. Socko. And he has offered to personally mow the lawn of anyone who donates $5,000 to RAIN. After Hurricane Sandy, he gave his furniture to a family in Long Beach who had lost theirs. And he's a huge fan of the holiday Christmas. He once had a Santa beard off with fellow WWE superstar Daniel Bryan, and has a dedicated Christmas room in his house year round. Mick Foley, an interesting character from the world of wrestling. New York Times bestselling author.
I remember reading that there was an article that he wrote about RAIN and about his love for Tori Amos. And yeah, I was pretty blown away.
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it was very, very awesome. Him talking about the first time he heard Little Earthquakes, which might be my favorite. I don't know. Either that or...
I like Boys for Pele.
Yeah, I like Boys for Pele too, but I think, what is it, Under the Pink? Is that the one with Cornflake Girl on it? I really like that.
Yes.
I saw her at the Barbara B. Mann back in the day.
It's incredible.
Yeah, she was really, really good. Another another great MTV Unplugged. Yeah, I was just like, holy shit.
You should watch that.
It is very good. She's got a piano, and she's got on the other side of her a harpsichord. She does Blood Roses, and she plays both at the same time.
Blood Roses.
Oh, so good.
Hey, we should make grilled cheeses and watch Tori Amos's MTV Unplugged.
Sounds amazing.
All right, I'll be over. I can be over there in like 20 minutes.
You're going to be asleep in 20 minutes.
We just need to put a copy of Have a Nice Day, A Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks in Mark's
So you had a nice day.
He'll be out like a light
there you
in
go, yeah.
20 seconds. But
that is, and start reading.
It's a good book. I remember reading that when it came out in 99. Perfect for my 16-year-old wrestling fan self at the time. But he's a good writer, and he didn't use a ghostwriter on it. He wrote it himself. Which a lot of wrestlers that followed suit after he hit the number one, The Rock came out with an autobiography. There might have been a Stone Cold one. I'm not sure. Anyway, Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. Lee.
Mark.
What a good time.
Lee.
Kyle Ann.
Kyle.
What a Mark. Good time.
Mark.
Lee.
Kyle. Yes, agreed. This was a great time.
Thanks for letting me hang. I just want to hang out with you guys.
Thank you for hanging, my lovely darling.
Of course, honey.
All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you, Alex, by the way, for reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate your review, as we do all of them. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top. which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us with the shows, including Quiz Daddy's Dylan, Tommy, and Tim's. Our team captain's Gil.
It's Gil!
What the fuck? Hey, what the fuck's was that?
It's Gil!
What the shits is?
Kristen. I'm Spiegel!
Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron's, and David's Holbrook's. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo.
Oh, this is a lot to do in this fucking voice. Nina, Michael, Matthew.
He broke.
Oh, oh well, it's just too well much.
You just saw a wall of 18 names coming cool, down though. The coming down
you
the path.
You have so many names that you can't even do the voice.
Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin's, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas's. And thanks to Rumpelstiltskin's, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Stephen, Michael C.,
Mike Chili on a Cinnabon.
Michael S.
Mike shamelessly giving all the corporate profits to charity.
And Michael Jesus.
Mike, just one more Smeagol impression, please.
Oh, you got it.
If you'd like to write us with a rate by question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And where can you follow us on Facebook? Well, that's easy. We have a Facebook group that you can join. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only.
Please. Until next time. Have a fantastic day.
Amazing. Well done, my friend.